This episode of Android's Amazing Podcast is brought to you by Cthulhu is Hard to Spell. If you love Lovecraft, this is a love letter to Lovecraft fans of all kinds. From those that obsess about Cthulhu, to ones that never want to leave Arkham, to the ones that keep a copy of the Necronomicon under their pillow, and everyone in between. Whether you are a casual fan or a rabid one, this book has got you covered. Go check out their Kickstarter page in the description and throw them a dollar or two to help fund Volume 2 of Cthulhu is Hard to Spell, The Terrible Twos. Now, on to the show. Hello and welcome to Android's Amazing Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, the sexy Hunter Van Lierop, and I'm joined by the equally sexy James Santana.
That's good. You put that.
We're both equally sexy. That's it.
I guess so.
Come find us. Tell us we're wrong.
Don't do that.
Tell us we're wrong or tell us we're right.
Please don't do either.
Yeah. Your wife and my girlfriend will not be happy with that. We're brought to you by Android's Comics down in Saville, New York. James, we have news, but first,
sex!
Okay, you can continue. This is our Valentine's Day episode, everybody.
Yeah, it's our wonderful Valentine's Day episode. We figure we cover like sexy books. Anyway, later on.
Hit me with news.
Yeah, so we've got that we have a guest.
I thought you wanted to do it when we entered the topic.
Oh,
like
no.
Like we usually do. All right, guys, today we're joined by Lisa Santana.
Yeah.
She was here before for our weddings and couples episode, and that would have been a better Valentine's Day special, but we did it in October.
Because I was getting married.
So now we're talking about sex.
She stayed with me, we still got married, and we're still together. So.
Yes. Now we are officially married. Yes.
Why? That's my question. Why?
And today is actually our 4-month anniversary.
Ooh.
Oh, shit, yeah, it is.
Wow.
Sorry.
Exactly today?
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. Yes. That's awesome. Great. That's the topic.
11. Yes. All
right. So let's start with some news first. Okay, guys. Ow. I hate sitting on the side.
It sucks.
It sucks.
You got all the product in front of you. We switched seats because he wasn't going to shove his wife behind the counter where there's no room.
Yeah, I don't do that. All right, so first up, DC cast Super Sons for Superman Lois, and Doom Patrol cast Abigail Shapiro as Dorothy Spinner for season 2 of Doom Patrol.
So let's lock down the Superman Lois thing. One of them's name is Jordan.
Okay,
I don't like that.
let's talk about what actually happened. So they put out the casting news for Super Sons, which was fine. We knew that was coming. We knew the
they've
show.
They've been trying to cast the show for the last couple.
Right.
They had like a soft pilot, I think.
Coming. No, straight to series.
Oh, okay.
They went straight to series, actually. There is no pilot.
Okay.
They ordered CW ordered the entire series. The problem with the casting is that one of them is clearly John. We know that it's gonna be John that we know from the books, just older. So close.
How much older? Like 10 or 11, or like 13, 14, or like the current John who's 17.
I'm gonna double check. I think he's supposed to be like young-ish.
Well, the first time he was introduced to us, he was like 10, I think. When Rebirth took him in, after Convergence, he was like 10 or so.
Yes.
And then he was 12 by the time he got aged up. And now he's 17 and in the future, so.
That's true.
I don't really know what the fuck they're going to do with that. And then there's Jordan.
Okay,
now,
so
is
that's
Jordan from The Infinite Crisis?
No.
Or is Jordan just like they announced it as the cast list?
That's the, as the other son.
I mean, I was talking about it before. I think it's Jor-El, but they just couldn't call him Jor, so they're like, oh, Jordan.
Or, you spoke about this before.
Or it's a placeholder?
It's a placeholder name, so they don't spoil it.
People have been saying that since Batman is quote-unquote missing,
yep.
Where is Damian at
for
Batman? So they're thinking that Jordan is actually Damian,
yeah.
And he's watching him for Bruce, which would be pretty cool.
They actually cast both kids. It's Jordan Elise and Alex Goffin.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Alex Garfin sounds familiar.
They're young. They're both very young. Elise plays Jonathan. Modest, cute, kind-hearted kid. Osha's attitude, which is just Jonathan.
Yeah.
And then the Jordan one, they kind of don't really give enough.
Because it's probably Damien.
Yeah, he's just Damien.
Well, we'll see.
They
we could be wrong. It could be just they just have another kid. They just need a new dynamic for the show. And then Dorothy Spinner from Doom Patrol, wasn't she in the last episode of the first season? But you didn't see her face. She was just a placeholder.
Yeah, you saw her, like a shadow of her in like the pre-ultimate episode of season one, and then you finally see her fully in season two, but you kind of see her face, but it's all prosthetics.
Yeah.
So think of it the same way they did the original Doom Patrol on Titans, where they were all there, but not all of them made it to the show when they relaunched it.
Yeah.
So it, again, it was easy. She didn't have any speaking role, so it was easy.
Yeah, she just kind of rolled up, and he was like,
yeah. Yeah. So, Dorothy is the like reality manipulating daughter of the chief.
Is she gonna get aged? I mean, she's not gonna get aged up because
no,
Abigail Shapiro. She's 19 apparently, she's 19 but she looks like she's 12. Yeah, it's really
playing,
weird.
Yeah, she's playing 11-year-old.
Oh, she is playing. They confirmed her age.
Dorothy
okay.
is 11 on the show.
Okay, I don't know if they're gonna shoot her up.
No. They're keeping her younger. Okay, cool. Because just like in the Doom Patrol book, she was around the same age.
Okay, kind of like the Kitty Pryde.
Yes.
Where she kind of hangs out.
She's younger. Yeah. So it's a little bit easier for them to do that.
That's good. At least they're not gonna like just throw in some like age stuff. They're like, here you go.
No, I hate when they age up for no reason. But like I said, the biggest thing was
like
that
what they did with John.
Like I said, the whole problem though we have is for casting is just the Jordan thing. But like I said, I think that's a placeholder name, not to spoil as Damian, because it kind of makes sense if Batman's not around. Who else would like? I mean, yes, technically he would give it to his cousin.
But like you know, Superman's a little more you know not getting into danger, especially if Damian's not actually the real Damian. If it's like the CW Damian, which is just a young kid.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's true.
And he might be like Selina Kyle's kid instead of being Talia's kid, because they might not want to put that relationship in the show.
Well, they could probably do that.
I mean, if they got Superman, they could probably get Batman.
Talia technically exists in the Arrowverse. We know that.
Yeah.
But, she was on Arrow. Yeah, you're not caught up.
Didn't she super die?
No, she's alive.
Really? Talia's up to season 6.
Yeah, she's alive. Talia's alive.
Okay, so maybe she's around.
Yeah, Talia is alive. So it would kind of make sense.
Okay, yeah, okay. I
and
could
then
be
make
that.
A bigger continuity.
And then have Batman show up eventually. Because if they took one season to show Superman, maybe Batwoman
they
season
can't
2.
Remember, that's the whole thing. They can't legally show Batman.
But why can't they show Superman?
Because they own the rights to Superman. Disney owns the rights to the live-action rights to Batman. Television rights.
Disney?
Yes. We've been over this.
So weird.
We talked about this on the Batman the Media episode.
Well, yeah, I think we did.
That's the first time
I said
that.
Was like our third episode or some shit.
Yeah.
Well, six?
Third episode.
Yeah.
And I said that on the show because no one believed me. I'm like, yes, ABC owns the rights to Batman live action. So when they did the Adam West TV show, the license for any live action Batman television went to them. They never sold the right. They never. They keep renewing the license. They never.
I mean, that's
kind of
like a spite
it.
Thing, probably.
Yes, it completely is.
We own Marvel and Batman.
They like we just will keep owning the legal television rights, licensed television rights to Batman. That's why there's never been a live action Batman show.
Because they probably would have done a bunch of them.
They would have done them by now.
I mean, we had Gotham.
Yeah,
but like,
he
wasn't
that was
Batman, Fox.
And it was Fox, and at the very end.
Fox and ABC were buddies, I think.
Well, no, because the last episode aired after the acquisition went through.
Well, yeah, and then
so,
he was
and
like, actually
it,
officially
yeah,
Batman.
And they had him in the Batman suit, so that's why they did it.
Interesting.
So, you want to talk about some Doctor Strange news?
Okay, yeah, because I didn't want to talk about the next
one. The next one I'll talk about.
I personally like it. Okay, Doctor Strange 2 potentially could be getting. You know, directed by Sam Raimi.
That's potentially.
So hold your horses. We haven't said anything, like, officially yet.
Yeah.
He's in talks, but he's known for horror. He's known for cheesy horror, let's be real.
Yeah.
But, like, Doctor Strange could be cheesy horror if they're going to spice it up for the MCU. Because the first one wasn't a comedy, by any means.
No.
But it had decent writing.
Yeah, no.
And Derrickson knew what direction to put it in.
Exactly.
But Derrickson apparently wanted to do a full horror movie. We talked about it a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, last episode.
So
actually.
Now, I think it's two episodes ago.
Episodes,
so I think Raimi is going to take over the reins. And I think that's fine. I mean, I'd love Derrickson to come back, obviously, but Raimi, I'd love, because I love Evil Dead, and I love the Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah.
And then, apparently, Rachel McAdams is not coming back.
No, she's
she just
not.
Doesn't want to.
She just doesn't want
to. I think she was tied to Derrickson. She's like Natalie Portman when they didn't have her come back for Ragnarok because of reasons, but now she's totally back.
Wasn't Patty Jenkins supposed to do Ragnarok?
Patty Jenkins was supposed to do 3, and then they didn't want her on it because of creative differences, and then she went to Wonder Woman.
And then Wonder Woman said.
Which
is
way better.
I mean, you're way more money. It's like, all right, cool.
So, yeah,
I'll do this better movie.
It kind of sucks that Rachel McAdams is not going to be there anymore, but we don't need another female lead because we have Scarlet Witch coming in.
Yeah, because she's going to be the secondary lead, and Clea is supposed to be in that movie.
Exactly. So why would we need another... I mean, I guess the love triangle... Well, not triangle, but the love... They both love him.
Yeah, but it makes more sense to do Clea instead.
Yeah, because... You know,
yeah, because the thing is, having Rachel McAdams' character come back... It's not like the book now where Doctor Strange is the Surgeon Supreme, where he's actually still working in the
hospital. They're jumping through multiverses. They're going to have Rachel McAdams jump through multiverses as a nurse.
Well, no, it's not that. Think about it this way. In the book, currently, he's a doctor. Again.
Yeah, now he is.
You know, but
3 issues
for the longest time, he wasn't a practicing physician.
Yeah, he was a vet like a couple, it was 2 years ago, I think he was a vet again.
Yeah, in Wadron.
Yeah.
But.
Donny Cates.
Cates, and then the tail end of the other one. But yeah, so it makes no sense to have her, was she a nurse or she was another doctor?
She was a nurse.
It makes no sense for her coming into the movie because he hasn't dealt with that part of his life for a while.
Yeah.
It
and
makes no sense
and
to
after
character.
Endgame and Infinity War,
yeah.
Doctor Strange is not going to be
still,
like, I'm going to go be a doctor again.
Yeah, he can't. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So it's better that they just you know, it's better. Again,
clear. She was supposed to be in it a while ago. Right. Like, she was confirmed, and then she was just like...
Yeah. Yeah. But again, like I said, it's better that Clea is coming in. That's his actually true love interest that we know. Yeah. It makes more sense. It ties back to Dormammu.
And then we know Elizabeth Olsen is going to be there from after WandaVision. And Doctor Strange is supposed to be in that?
Yeah.
But we haven't heard anything recently about it.
Yeah, well, because after the whole him leaving, the director leaving, we don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. That tie.
It's up in the air.
Yeah.
So, James, give me that Wally West news. Because I am not happy. I think it's dumb.
I love it.
I know you are.
We got some free comic book day news. Three pieces of news, actually. One, they announced the X-Men book coming out for it, which is supposed to be leading up to the big summer event for X-Men.
The Brood thing, right? The Brood? Isn't that
No. It's, okay. That's just a story coming up in issue 8. But no. So free comic book day put out their... Marvel put out their three free comic book day books.
Mm-hmm. Or two X-Men?
It's X-Men, and the other one is a Black Cat, Venom, and Spider-Man crossover event.
That's cool. Happen. I'm into that.
So, along those lines, DC put out theirs. And on the cover, it's Wally West in a blue outfit, but he's now merged with Dr. Manhattan.
For how?
The Mobius chair. It goes back to...
We have to see how Flash Forward ends, because 6 could end with him doing that.
It goes back, because in 5, he understands about the Mobius chair and,
he's gonna,
and everything.
Yeah, and in 6, it's going to be him and his kids and stuff like that, yeah.
And the reason why even the Mobius chair is empowered by Manhattan's power is because Manhattan used it to kill people back during Geoff Johns' run of Justice League.
Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah.
Oh, they retconned that in Doomsday Clock?
No, he used his. He doesn't use his chair. Remember, he's already back. That was Geoff Johns' link from 49 of Justice League during his run into Rebirth and everything. That's the prelude to Rebirth.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yep. Yeah.
That's why the Mobius chair is empowered by Dr. Manhattan. Mm. It looks like Wally's good on the covers, has Wally traveling, and you see the different Earths merging together.
So and it looks, people are thinking, what, New Crisis?
They're calling it New Crisis, but the book's called Generation Zero. The issue will actually entail, it's a two-part story. The first part will be Flash Forward Epilogue, and the second story will be a reprint, Brave New World, which was in Wonder Woman 750.
Okay.
The Scott Snyder story. The first appearance of Wonder Woman as
Oh, okay. Zero. So they're like, here it is again. She's the first one.
Right.
So is... Oh, God. Is that what fucking 5G is?
Nope.
The fifth generation?
Yeah, I don't mind if it's fifth generation.
Or
but
generation
not the
5 or whatever?
Yeah, I don't mind if...
Well, because if they reboot it as generation 5, we could get Wonder Woman as the first superhero.
Yeah, of course.
Wally's Manhattan, and he's controlling it for something, and like, I don't know. Speculating.
Oh, sorry.
I'd be down for something like that. I'd be down for something like that, though. Having, Manhattan, Wally, be some tie to that 5G rumor. Even I mean, I don't want it to be the 5G rumor because I don't want Bleeding Cool to be right.
Yeah, I don't.
But I think a fifth generation like event title would be pretty cool.
Yeah, see, I don't mind that at all
because it would be like the fifth generation of heroes or whatever.
Yeah. Again, just do more.
And also, what else does 5G mean besides fifth generation or generation 5?
Yeah.
5 Green Lanterns? We've already shit on that before.
I fucking knocked that out of the window. I think we had that rumor a long time ago.
Yeah, it's just ugh. All right, what's next?
So WandaVision. Sorry, we should have done the WandaVision back-to-back.
Eh.
It's fine. Go ahead. Cover some WandaVision.
So WandaVision and Ms. Marvel are going to be tied into Captain Marvel 2. Fucking duh.
Duh. Next. Like, duh.
So, like, well, because we know Spectrum is going to be in WandaVision.
Yes.
We talked about that a while ago.
Yes.
Our whole, like, plot theory is, I think, episode, like, 15 or something.
Yeah.
And give me credit if I get it right. That'd be pretty cool. And then Ms. Marvel tied into Captain... No shit.
Yeah, no shit.
Her whole origin is like she's a fan of Captain Marvel. That's why she takes the name Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why she has to tie into it.
I mean, she doesn't have to, but like it's dumb if that makes sense. So does that mean Captain Marvel 2 is coming out after the Ms. Marvel show, or they're just saying that Kamala might be in the movie?
I would,
Well, because Kamala, the Ms. Marvel show doesn't have a release date, and it looks like it's going to be 2022, if anything.
All the three,
which means Captain Marvel 2 is going to be 2023?
So me and Lee watching on Disney Plus, there is, Rebuilding the Marvel Universe. It's like an MCU.
Like, yeah, like, they just talk about the behind the scenes.
2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where they show Agent, U.S. Agent and everything for the first time.
Okay, cool.
Like, in his uniform, too.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah. Actually, I didn't know that until I watched the thing. Which is really fucking cool. But they showed... We knew the release dates for Loki, WandaVision, and...
Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah. But yeah, so think 2022, late 2022.
Yeah, but then Captain Marvel's going to be in late 2022 or 2023. That'd be kind of stupid.
That's fine. Well, we don't know what next year's block of movies going to be. Right
I
now.
I mean, we can kind of assume it's going to be Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and an Ant-Man movie.
Right.
Because those are the only ones who haven't had sequels yet, besides...
Also, that the only one's still alive.
Well,
you know,
everyone else is eating the shit.
That's the thing. We don't know, so maybe...
Guardians.
Yeah. But that's been in production for like 8 years now.
Yeah. Love and Thunder.
Yeah,
Love and Thunder is next year.
Love and Thunder is next year too. But that's confirmed.
Yeah.
That's confirmed. But yeah, so Ms. Marvel could technically be, doesn't matter, it could be even afterwards, because now Carol's back fully.
And she's back in the present day, so right. Then Kamala can get a following
for
her.
It makes sense that it comes after Captain Marvel 2 then.
But Captain Marvel 2 is supposed to be in the 90s. It's supposed to be 10 years
for
after.
Now,
yeah,
quote,
I mean,
unquote.
That's what they said.
It makes no sense to do that. What, she's going to be in space
with the current
time?
Climate. I mean, I don't think she'd be in space all the time. I think she'd come back in the
remember.
90s. Why can't you just come back for like? Because each movie takes like Captain Marvel. The movie is like 2 days total.
No, I know that, but would it make sense storyline wise for her to come back, like come back in the 90s and then go back out? It makes more sense to her either have that movie completely in space, where she's doing like building up for the Kree Skrull
War, like a
Guardians
kind of thing.
Well, no, build up for the Kree Skrull War, which is gonna be the new Avengers movie. I told you that's what it's gonna be.
Yeah, that's for. I mean, I believe you.
You know, it's gonna be called Empire because this book's coming
out
this summer.
Well, because I think we were talking about it before. They cast. Oh, no, that was Doctor Strange 2 with Ben Grimm.
Yeah, well, that was wrong.
But I think, yeah, we know now. But I think it would be cool to see Captain Marvel in the 90s, and right at the end, the rocket ship for the Fantastic Four blasts off, so then they're not kids. The Fantastic Four can land as adults or whatever. Because if they say, oh man, in the 90s, these four astronauts flew up into space and got lost, and then Captain Marvel helps them, and then it's just like, oh, they've been hiding for a while, or fucking whatever.
Because
I don't want the Fantastic Four to be five.
No, they can be the same age as Tony.
Yeah, but, like, where have they been? That's what everybody's going to ask.
They didn't get the powers yet. They're not the same. Their origin isn't the same as anything else.
I know.
Origin is they kind of...
They go up into space and then shit happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be any age, I guess.
Yeah, they can technically be the same
age. I mean, Fan4Stick tried to make them really young. They're all, like, in college.
They were doing the Ultimate story. Whole Negative Zone. That was the Negative Zone story. Yeah. But you can actually just make it where they're older, you know?
Yeah, like they go up into space.
The big thing about Captain Marvel 2 is
I think they're going to go up into space during the snap. Yeah. And then, since they're in space, they hit a tidal wave, but then the snap hits them at the same time. And then they turn into fucking whatever.
It's going to be something stupid.
Because it could be tied to the snap, though.
No, nothing stuck to that. That fucking thing. It's like what happened in Endgame. I was right when I called that. And it was like, they're going to snap everyone back, and that's how the X-Men are coming. I'm like, no, you idiots.
until they retcon it.
I was right. People owe me food for this.
I know. It's, who, Jimmy?
No, Jimmy paid me already.
Who is it then?
Dave and Vinny.
Okay.
They owe me lunch. But then I owe Ryan and Kathy dinner, so.
Yeah, because you were wrong about Black Lightning.
I was wrong about Black Lightning.
All right.
Again, I'm not normally wrong.
So what's up with this Strange Adventures stuff, man? I just read this article today, and I'm not happy.
I know, you're not. I figured you weren't. I read the text, Danny.
Because I like everything in canon. I like everything that makes sense.
So, Strange Adventures was coming out. It's been announced.
It's coming out what? 2 weeks?
2 weeks, actually. Tom King's, it's Tom King's next big project.
With Mitch Gerards?
Yes. And by the way, Mitch Gerards is now a DC exclusive artist.
Cool.
He signed up this morning.
I mean, that kind of sucks because like I like him doing a bunch of stuff, but also cool.
Yeah.
Because then he's got a permanent job.
Yeah.
He'll never be out of work.
But they moved Strange Adventures from being... I never thought it was going to be like... I thought it would be higher T anyway.
Oh, yeah, kind of like Mr. Miracle.
Right.
It's definitely in that vein.
Yeah, but they switched it right from that to Black Label and making it non-canon.
Yeah, well, not...
Black Label's not canon. Let's
it's not, but like... But the new Birds of Prey book that came out this week is canon in the Harley Quinn stuff.
In a sense. It's not canon to the universe. Same... Because Cassandra Cain in it is the movie Cassandra Cain.
Yeah,
not...
I know. But like all it's the Paul Meada universe.
No, because the rest of Paul Meada stuff is canon to the DC universe. It's just
but Paul Meada didn't follow over in Rebirth, though, right?
Yeah, did.
He did?
Yes.
How many issues did he do?
He did most of it.
I think he did 25.
No, he did most of the run up. He did most of the original run of Rebirth.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It wasn't until later on. He's the one who... That story's continuing on. Everything's still canon.
Yeah.
The reason why they're using... Because it's the two of them working on the book.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why, like, a lot of Black Label stuff's not canon, because if you can't tell... if you're a Harley Quinn fan, you're a teenager, what's the likelihood of you read a Black Label book?
Very high. It's Harley Quinn.
I know. But if there's boobs or whatever in that book...
There is boobies.
I know. This is the first page. It's the first friggin' page.
Hey, but they're censored. For the most part.
Pasties are pasties. you know, they're not going to... It's the whole... Like, so, on Sunday, I had a customer, a kid, grab Joker's... Kill Smile. Off
I don't
the
think,
show.
Is that one really that bad?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember being
it's
that
just violent. Okay. It's violence. It's
like, I don't remember
it's
there being
sex.
Like, you
it's
know,
violence.
Bat dicks or whatever.
No, it's violence.
Okay.
So the kid was ringing up. I was like, I looked at mom, like, you know that's mature rating, right? She goes, oh, you have to say that? I'm like, no, I'm just telling you. It's a Black Label book. Yes, your kid, your 10-year-old kid should be reading it, but whatever. She's like, it's fine. I'm like, whatever. That kid's definitely a serial killer.
Don't say that. That's terrible. But he probably is.
He's getting
gonna
ideas from that book.
He's gonna kill like a beaver or some shit and be like, I'm gonna wear its skin.
He's definitely getting ideas from that book tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's why the idea of having Black Label books as canon kind of goes away.
So then, because they want everything for everybody,
right? Because your normal stuff, like your regular Supergirl, your regular Superman, Batman, whatever, you can sell those books constantly. To sell a Black Label book, it's a little bit harder. Yeah. I'm glad they're not changing the
book. Well, it's also because their prestige format, which is fucking annoying.
It's not going to be that.
They're,
magazine
if
format.
If it is, though, I'm going to be so pissed. I'm going to go to DC, and I'm going to just scream for
I'm going to be so pissed if Strange Adventures. I'm going to get Strange Adventures. Kai loved Mr. Miracle.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same vein. But now that's not canon. Also, why it's not canon, because Mr. Terrific's in the book also.
Yeah, but who cares?
What I mean is, it's a part of the story. I
but
mean,
it also ties.
The
they said it ties into Heroes in Crisis.
But he said was that it looks like you already know who his partner is from Heroes Crisis. I reread that page that he
I
used.
Couldn't tell.
You
I
can't fucking
it too.
Tell. It means
There's no
nothing.
Tell.
There is nothing. He just made some bullshit up. But that's also why
he
I
was just like, I like this character and I'll use him. I'm like, okay.
Again, that's why I want him to write that Superboy series so bad.
Hey man, if there's enough buzz on the internet, it'll happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because he's posting those pictures now.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know if I ever posted this on my Instagram
he
yet.
Didn't.
I'm like, you definitely didn't.
You
You're
definitely
doing this
didn't.
Now because
and
DC...
Rockford didn't post on his.
Yeah. So, like, it's obviously going to happen now.
Oh, man.
Especially because it looks sick so far.
If he makes a Black Label Superboy book...
Just show us what Metallo looks like.
Yo, just do a Black Label Superboy book.
Just do a Superboy book, period. We need one. Besides Young Justice, spin him out of it.
Yeah.
Like, this is what he's doing when he's not in the Wonder Comics.
Yeah, that's fine, but I would take a Black Label Superboy book.
Yeah, I would too, but like, I'd rather it be canon because then he can interact with all his buddies again.
Yeah, exactly.
Last bit of news.
Oh, I should have covered this part.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
I hate you. I should have covered that part. Go ahead.
Juggernaut's getting a solo book, which is fucking awesome. It's been forever. I don't think he's ever had one besides J2. That's not really him.
Juggernaut?
Juggernaut solo book.
Oh, yo.
Yeah, besides J2, it's been none.
J2...
He had a one-shot.
X-Men Black.
Yeah, X-Men Black Juggernaut, but he's never had his own... it's not ongoing, it's a mini.
Yeah.
It's just called Juggernaut. It's about him being a mutant, but not a mutant, because he's just been with the X-Men forever.
He's not a mutant, though. He's
I know,
how he
but he's an X-Men bad guy.
Yeah, he's actually... Yeah, he's a...
Yeah, so the whole thing mutant. Is, like, what's his... Since he's a human, what's his place on Krakoa? And that answer is not there.
Krakoa.
But he teams up with him. The book is going to be him teaming up with a mutant called
D-Cell.
D-Cell, yeah.
Whose her mutant ability is to decelerate moving objects.
Yeah, so
she's a counterpoint to Juggernaut.
Because he's the unstoppable force.
The unstoppable Juggernaut.
I'm super excited because I love the Juggernaut.
I just like the design.
Oh yeah, he's getting a new outfit.
He's getting new armor.
Yeah.
Also, I hope that they're smart enough to spin this out of X-Men Black. It's going to explain the time difference. Between his last appearance, which we know was X-Men Black, where he...
It was X-Men Black.
Because that's when he left Sidorak. He didn't want to be an avatar for Sidorak anymore.
Yeah, but it looks like he's coming back.
But
his new outfit, obviously.
It's black. Well, it's still... Yeah, but
it's
even
red
at the
and
end
black,
of that...
I think?
Yeah, it's red and black. But even at the end of Juggernaut X-Men Black, he still has the red suit.
Yeah.
So it's just a new suit design. So he may be an avatar for someone else.
Yeah.
But again, he's
but like,
also trying to find.
Are they
going to
give him mutant powers at the end?
No.
Or are they going to just let him take a pass because he's been around for so long?
No.
Or are they going to be super like douchey about it and
douchey.
Be like, "We've known you for 30 years, but nah,
there's
fuck
only,
you."
There's only about 3 humans on allowed at Krakoa right now.
Who are they? They yelled at Doctor Strange, which was kind of stupid.
Again, he's a human on Krakoa.
I know, but he's also the Sorcerer Supreme.
He's a human on
Krakoa. To be fair, it was Pyro yelling at him.
Yeah.
Bishop kind of knew. Cable was like, I'm going to shoot you.
Well, Cable's a teenager, not now.
Yeah, Magic was like, shut up.
Yeah, that's also her master, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
The only humans that are living on Krakoa, that can live on Krakoa are Shogo.
Because he's a baby.
Jubilee Son, yeah.
But isn't he part mutant?
No, he's not mutant.
Oh, I forget you had a certain gene. Your parents could be mutants and you might not be.
Right, and that's not Jubilee's actual son.
It's time displaced.
No,
she
adopted him.
From where?
He was actually possessed by Sublime's, the Ancient Mold Sublime's sister.
I knew it wasn't her kid because she wasn't pregnant, but I thought it was like a time displaced kid.
Shogo was just an infant baby that was possessed by some wands.
He did come in from the future, though, at some point.
No.
An older version.
Yeah, yes, yeah, Sentinel X.
That's probably what I'm thinking
That's
of.
Who you're thinking of, because he joins the X-Men as an adult, but he has a Sentinel armor. Everyone's like, what the fuck is Sentinel doing on the team? And it's him in a modified uniform. Shogo can stay on there.
What's the reason?
Because that's her, because she's raising him. That's her kid.
It'll probably come up in the book, like, how come these four get to be here and I don't? I'm the Juggernaut.
No, the reason why Juggernaut wants to go to Krakoa, because his only family's on Krakoa.
Yeah, exactly.
And Charles doesn't fucking like him.
Yeah, well...
He tried to kill him. Yeah, so... I mean,
Professor X is also probably Mr. Sinister, so...
That's a theory. It's from our theory from the get-go.
Dude, it's gonna happen.
It's going to happen.
Who are the other ones?
Brian Braddock.
But he's Captain Britain, so... He's never on there.
He can stay on there if he wants, but that's only because he's also Psylocke's brother.
And also because he's been part of the mutant... heritage, but, like, around for a while.
Yeah, he
was Excalibur. He did the British version of the Mutant Academy, right? The Braddock Academy?
The Braddock Academy, yeah.
And then Jamie is also his brother, too.
But so. Jamie's a mutant, though.
Yeah, no, but, like, Brian can stay there because he got
because both his siblings are mutants.
This is definitely going to come up in the Juggernaut book. He's like, well, these family members and my brother's here.
They got brothers anyway.
They're
stepbrothers.
Yeah.
They're not even real brothers.
I know. It's like Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Shut up. I knew the moment the words came out.
Who are the other two, man? Do you remember?
That live on the island.
Yeah. Maybe Kitty Pryde.
I said that. I saw that fucking post today with her her coffin. I'm like, she's not mutant. That's the reason why she can't go to the fucking gate.
And she also can't be revived, Ooh.
I think the
what is she, an inhuman?
I'm so fucking pissed.
Bring him back.
I'll be so fucking pissed if she's a goddamn inhuman. No, because she can be a mutate also.
She can be mutate.
Or, like,
I think they're going to splice her with DNA to make her the first Chimera.
Yeah, she might be. Because whatever's keeping her from coming to the island's a reason. But again, that teaser means nothing.
But it could also be Cypher.
Yeah, that teaser could also mean nothing.
Exactly.
It's a cover.
Yeah, she, because fucking...
Covers me nothing now.
Exactly.
You know.
But I think...
The only other humans that might be allowed of her cover are Wanda and Pietro. Because they're Magneto's children. But they're not Magneto's children.
Yeah.
He just helped raise them. But they're not his kids anymore.
Yeah, and they're also now not mutants.
They're also not mutants anymore.
They're Avengers. Or Inhumans or...
No, they're...
Evolutionary, whatever
they were.
Yeah, they were,
They were helped molded by the...
blah, blah, blah bullshit so they could be in the Avengers
MCU,
movie.
MCU. Fuck you. Yeah, screw you, Disney. Yeah, that's why the whole thing that, if you look at Hox and Pox, they have the mutant pretender Wanda Maximoff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yes, mutant pretender. Sweet, sweet mutant pretender.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm down for Juggernaut, and I'm down to see what his whole deal is gonna be. I wish it wasn't a 5-issue mini, because it's one of my favorite X-Men, but also, yeah no shit, it's gonna be a 5-issue mini.
Yeah, it's not
I love Yondu, but they shouldn't give him an ongoing.
That shit should be small.
It should just be a collected story, boom, boom, boom. Done. James, I ran out of stuff to say. I'm waiting for you to start the topic.
Oh, sorry. I was actually just pulling stuff
we're
on my phone.
We're out of news.
I was like pulling up, like, I was getting messages and shit. That's my life now. So anyway, this week being our Valentine's episode, we're going to talk about sex.
Bow, bow, bow,
I hate you.
Bow.
So
I'm
going to
blast it. The ear rape version.
God.
Throw it right in here.
I can't. So being that this is our topic, of course, this old scammers, we spoil a lot.
Hey, and we also get to talk about this again during episode 69, which is 30 episodes away.
I can't. You know, that actually would be a fun topic.
More sex. All right.
So of course, this is going to be a lot of mature content. If you already didn't know by the title of the episode. So before we do this, each of us picked our favorite sexy time books to cover. But before that, I want to... God, Hunter, your face.
Millennial humor.
I can't... I'm also a millennial.
Yeah, I know, but you're an old man.
That's fair. So, I'm going to do a brief history of what sex is in comics. The problem with that
is tell you what it is, if you don't know.
No, it's... I know what it is, but the problem is... So, doing the search for... The research for this fucking thing
sucks. Oh, yeah,
sucked.
When you type in sex comic books...
It's
all, like, the dumb parody books, and then, like, just... Porn.
It's porn.
Like, it took me a while to find pictures for everything.
But, the title card for the episode. I'm like, I was doing this, I was like, shit, I should really be in incognito mode.
Then who cares?
I'm like...
The FBI already knows.
They already know.
They already know your search history.
So, some of the earliest rock comic books in North America... Okay, I'm only doing the history of North America. It's just so much easier.
Yeah, because...
if I did international porn, I'd fucking...
We don't
want to
go into tentacles.
I mean, could.
And German dungeon porn.
I didn't say...
Hey, man, episode 69 is coming up quick.
God. I'm not. I'm gonna find ways not to be on that episode.
That's fine.
I know. I'll figure it out. Your filthy friends are gonna take over. It's gonna be worse than this one. So some of the earliest comic books in North America were called Tijuana Bibles. Actually, we have one of those.
Tijuana Bibles?
Yeah, they're small little pamphlets. Actually, I have them right in the right here. They were typically 8-page black and white pamphlets featuring artwork that ranged from very good to very crude.
Like an ash can?
Yeah, like okay. What we call ash cans now.
Okay.
Actually, behind you, there's a small one. It's not the same version, but it's where our phone is.
Okay.
It's that size.
Oh, those little guys. Yeah, okay.
They're not the same thing.
Okay, but they're similar.
Yes. The subject matter was usually sexual adventures of well-known comic characters, political figures, and movie stars produced without permission. It's a way.
Hentai.
Oh God.
That's what it is.
I know.
That's what it is now.
Yes, but
Batman and Superman, and we're gonna bang Wonder Woman. Oh man, what's gonna happen? That's exactly what these books are.
It's exactly what it was. It was before they got in
it's
trouble.
It's the Trinity. Wink.
Oh, God.
Trinity of Sin, baby. Woo!
That book was good, though.
Yeah, with Pandora and et cetera. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Pandora
question. But this is about sex now.
With Pandora...
Phantom Stranger?
Question of Phantom Stranger?
No, that's what I call my dick.
Is it? No, Phantom Stranger? Don't fucking answer it.
No, I call my dick the
thing. Shut up! You're not doing this. So, oh God.
Hurry up, man. Let's go. Topic. I got more.
I know you do. So, under the counter, this was normally sold under the counter in places such as tobacco stores and burlesque houses. It was really weird.
They sell comics at porn houses? Cool.
It's just under the counter because I'm like, do you ask for it?
It's like Playboys. Yeah. They can't have them out on display because kids can grab them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, back then, by the way, this is like the 30s, 40s I'm talking about.
Oh, then maybe they were just handing them out to kids.
I'm talking about the 30s, 40s right now.
You're going to learn eventually.
Millions of Tijuana bottles were sold at the height of the popularity in the 1930s. I was right.
There you go. You did the research.
I know. I did literally this morning. They went to steep decline after World War II, and by the mid-1950s, only a small trickle of new product was still appearing in the market. That's only because a lot of that was still produced for soldiers that were out...
it in the trenches?
Really? Yes, actually. So they were
I've seen enough war movies.
They were normally sent out to soldiers who deployed... just to fucking kill time and
raise
shit.
Morale.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yes.
That's where Tolkien came up with his Lord of the Rings while wanking it in a trench.
Oh, God.
He was like, what if they went for a ring instead of just all of it having sex with each other?
Like, all the elves.
Elf quest.
Yeah. So, after...
So many elves.
So many elves.
I think C.S. Lewis actually wrote him a letter one time after he sent him another copy of one of his books. He's like, oh, God, the damn elves again. Like, you're writing about more elves?
It's all the elves. Y'all people and the elves. So after this, many times sex was portrayed through comics in men's magazines such as Playboy and Penthouse. What they would do is, it was pretty much open commission, like how we talk about submitting books to our comic book publishers.
Yeah.
It was always open commission. So normally they were in letters, people would write to them, or they would actually commission writers and artists to tell smutty stories in their books to sell. There's all sorts of fill pages in it. In the 1990s, we get to see the rise of more sexual content in mainstream books, whether it was Static Shock, which didn't show, but having implied sexual relationship between teenagers. Actually, that cover was censored.
What?
Yeah.
Are you talking about?
So, Static Shock.
Yeah, from...
Milestone.
Yeah, Milestone.
Slash DC.
What was the
icon? The cover was Static and his girlfriend. There was nothing on the cover. It was just, like, their bedroom, and there was condoms on the floor.
Oh, God, okay.
So, DC fucking lost their mind.
Blew on the nose.
Well, yeah. So, DC was like, nope, you can't show this. Not happening, censorship, completely.
I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, you could have just taken the condoms off the floor and still had them chilling in bed or whatever. Yeah. Or just had his bed.
And, of course, your more modern-day independent books. In the modern era, it's easy to see where it's supposed to be implied and where it's overused, as you'll be able to see in some of the books we talk about today.
Hell yeah.
That was really the brief history. That was the briefest history I've ever done on the show.
Well, because it's just kind of like, yeah, sex is in books. Okay, that's it.
I mean, yes.
I mean, sex happens.
Honestly, what ended up happening is that... Oh...
Do you have more?
I actually did.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how I skipped that part.
Oh, no.
I was actually just about to say it.
Oh, there you go. The research is in your brain.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's half it's in my brain and half it's on notes, and I hate doing notes and brain stuff. Because I really fucked this up.
You don't brain stuff well.
Yeah, no, I don't do brain stuff. Oh, yeah, because I skipped it. So back in the 70s and 80s, what would happen is, in the West Coast, and we've talked about this from when we go over like old books and 50-cent books, there was a boom in publishing. Especially in the West Coast, where there was a big,
boom in the porn industry around that time.
I'm big boom in the stupid hippie movement.
Oh, hell yeah.
California,
yes.
Smoke weed and have sex.
So what they would do is they would produce their own underground comics. A lot of them were pastiches of characters similar to the Tijuana Bibles back in the 30s, but not so heavily implied of the characterization because they could actually get sued now.
Yeah,
because copyright laws. Yeah, yeah. So the big one, the big infamous one that most people that I've seen actually here in the store was Cherry, which was it's a ripoff for Archie. Drawn in the same style, fashion, and everything, but it's just the most hardcore. And I'll explain why we've seen it. We got it in a collection one time. So me and Aunt were going through it, and I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm like,
oh, they made an Archie book?
I'm like, Aunt, this is porn! And so we're going through it, we're like, yep, this is porn. So we left in the office, we sold it to one customer. I won't name names. I will not name names, but
it's probably the guy who buys all the sexy books.
No, actually not.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. So, cover. Yeah, the cover, yeah, it's fine. Because the cover, there's nothing.
Was it him?
No, not me. She knows all my books at home.
Yeah, there's. I've seen everything.
Yeah, and I don't bring any of the porn books home. I just read them here.
Facts.
I just keep them in my mind.
I just keep them in my mind. At least I'm safe inside my mind. All right.
But yeah, so what they would do is, yes, they were still underground books and they were still sold behind the counters, but a lot of them were sold independently, and that was the rise of the big independent movement. Like, things like Cherry, which was an Archie parody. You'd have things that, I forgot the name of the other title that I've seen here that we got during collection. A lot of them were from old-timers that were getting books in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that were all underground books. There's a Frank Crum is one of the biggest artists for that.
Mm-hmm.
He was big in the independent movement in California to bring comics to the forefront, but he was also big in bringing underground comics to the forefront in general, whether mm-hmm. it be violence, drugs, or sex.
Cool.
So that was the biggest part of the history of the movement. And then, of course, it sprung up in places like Harlem and Midtown and stuff like that in Manhattan before the sweet, sweet cleaning of and sanitation of Manhattan. Do not... You weren't born yet, and neither was I. But,
They just had hoses in the street.
I'm sure you've heard stories.
But you know...
My parents used to tell right, the stories.
The red light district of which...
Lots
which,
of porn theaters.
Imagine, imagine being the guy who had to clean up the cum.
You wouldn't want to walk through...
With a hose?
It wasn't like...
With a hose and like a sponge?
It was like the antithesis of the tourist attraction right. It is now.
Because that's what
was
Midtown.
It is very Peep shows. Feedy, very
yes.
Feedy.
Pee Wee Herman participated.
Yeah, but that was in the 90s.
That was later, but... Same gist.
Yeah. Same
gist. So, yes, that was the history of comics. I'm looking through
the extra part.
Yeah, I'm like, I missed a whole part.
Some decades there.
7 days were one big, long clusterfuck of comics.
Before that, there were just cave paintings.
Yeah, before the 30s to me, nothing with comics didn't exist.
No, it was all written word.
No, comics existed.
It was all horny vocabulary.
Comics existed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, sex.
Where those erotic pirate novels come from.
Yeah. So, each of us picked sexy books to cover for the episode. I picked two. Hunter, you picked two.
I picked two.
Yeah, of course I did. All right, wonderful wife picked one. This is going to be fun.
You probably picked the best one, though. Let's be real. That's like a legit sex book.
Yeah, I know.
Ours are kind of like just comic books.
Like, sex card. If you're like, that's the actual good one.
I was a pure boy up until like recently.
That's your fault.
Comic-wise,
is
obviously.
It? Is it though?
I'm gonna read Money Shot now.
You're starting yours. So Hunter, what's yours?
So we covered both of mine on the show because they both came out pretty recently. Money Shot, which is done by C. Lee and Beattie, and then
Reviews by.
Was it Vault?
Yeah. We're supposed to do like we normally do our reviews.
I forget sometimes. And then I'm.
Let's do that.
Okay. I'll talk about the other one later.
We'll roast.
So. If you want to come back, if you want to go back to when we reviewed it before, I gave it a 5 out of 5, but it was, I think episode like 20 something.
We should really keep details when we talk about episodes.
I mean, I got all the notes in the show notes, but I didn't remember. Fine. So it's a bunch of scientists who want to fund their rocket ship into space, but they can't get any grants from other places. So they said, hey, why don't we just go have sex and fund it ourselves? So they basically just become porn stars and then go into space and have sex with aliens. Pretty cool.
That was the quickest read.
Because we already had the whole, like...
So...
And also, this book is still ongoing.
Yes,
they're
ongoing.
Up to issue 4, I think, what, next week? Or 2 weeks from now? Issue 3 came out a couple weeks ago.
Last week. 4. Last week it was 4.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, can we sold out.
Wow, that's probably why I didn't see it.
Yeah, we sold out.
Yeah, anyway, so it's still an ongoing. We talked about a couple weeks ago, right. Well, that they announced it for a second arc.
Yeah, so it takes place in this, like, a weird, like, shitty future where it's...
Not really.
No. Do you ever read the actual opening, the scroll text? They Star Wars, they give a scroll text in the opening. So the scroll text, when you read it, it's like, and the presidents hate science, and that's why they don't get money. Oh,
yeah, but it's not, like, fucking shitty. It's just, science is like...
idiots,
yeah.
And the reason why...
Well, it's a comedy book. Yeah. Yeah. So Trump doesn't like science because he doesn't believe in global warming. No, it's like, okay.
I mean, I know.
It's basically that.
But yeah, so they go on this
whole... It's Sarah Beatty's political commentary from Twitter.
Actually, funny enough, the reason why I pulled two issues aside today, a customer's like, yeah, I follow her on Twitter. I love her stuff.
Dude, she's hilarious.
I'm like, she's not.
Yeah, she is. She's not like, Seth Rogen hilarious.
I follow her on Instagram, dude. It's the same thing.
I know. But it's still funny. Anyway, so she teamed up with Tim Seeley to produce a book.
Yes. So what's cool about the book is that it's your weird pitch. You call it Guardians and
it's Guardians of the Galaxy, but they have sex with everything. That's my pitch.
That's not the pitch.
It's five people hanging out in space, but they have sex. That's it. It's basically Peter Quill if he was five people.
That's not Guardians of the Galaxy.
Peter Quill is a human who goes into space and has sex with aliens. How is that not Guardians of the Galaxy? How is this? Not Guardians of the Galaxy, but with all humans. It's all Peter Quills.
It's a bunch of
Peter Quills.
And what makes you think this is a sexy book? So trust me, there's a reason why books are just sexy or just have sex in them.
This is a sex book. They have sex. There's like...
No, I know that. I'm asking you to explain it.
Oh, I thought you were like questioning me.
No, I'm not questioning. No, it's not a sexy book. No. Yeah. So what I'm saying
is... What makes it a sexy book?
Sex. For example, like Saga.
Yeah.
What makes Saga not a sex book compared to...
Because it's not all about sex. This is all about sex. It's all about them getting money shots to produce
That's not it. The reason why it's called Money Shot is because the name of the ship is called Money Shot. Because it's a waste of money to put these people up in space for any reason. That's why they never got funded.
And also it's a porn joke.
And yes, it's a porn joke. It's the most expensive scene shot in a porn.
Yeah. And it's also the first one.
It's always the first one.
I didn't know that.
I told you.
Yeah,
that.
You told me that when I first started here. Cause we just talk about porn a lot. The heads up.
Yeah, heads up. This is what our lives become.
Really?
It's okay. Yep. Wonderful. My wife's here.
So comparing it to Saga, I guess. Yeah, this is a sex book because it's all about sexual acts. It's all about the first arc is them finding like the Gandhi of orgasms. He's like a big alien with huge testicles, and in issue 3 or 4, he whips them around like a fucking weapon and starts hitting people with them.
Yeah, it's weird. That his orgasm would actually power their star engine. That's the only reason why they need
them. Because they need it for energy.
They need it for energy. Mm-hmm. For
and also because orgasms. And if they record it, it's going to be like
millions of hits.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They Patreon it. That's exactly what they're doing.
It's like Indiegogo, Kickstarter, Patreon. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, watch us have sex.
Watch us have sex to fund their project.
Switch partners all the time between the five of them, and they all have like mixed feelings about each other.
Yeah.
I like the dynamic between them too, because like the buff guy who's all about fitness is actually like, I think he works in botanicals.
Yeah.
And he's actually like, I think in issue 4, he's talking to the other male character, and he's like, you know, we've never shot a scene together, right? And he's like, yeah, because we're not gay. He's like, yeah, but like, you know, we don't hang out that much. He's like, yeah, because you're an asshole. He's like, actually, I'm really not that shitty. Like,
yeah.
And he gives like his whole little backstory, and you're like, oh, he's a nice guy. He's just really buff and kind of
shitty.
Super Black Hole? I think it's what he wanted to be called.
Yeah, it's his porn name. Yeah, they all picked their own porn names in issue 1.
But he wanted to be Super Black Hole compared to like everyone else being like Celeste or some shit like
they're
that.
They're all named after scientists.
Yeah, except for Super Black Hole.
Yes, yeah,
because he was like, that's me. The only way I'm going in is if I can do it.
So he wants to be called Super Black Hole. Like, you fucking douche.
So,
fucking douche.
Yeah. What'd you talk about, James?
I have notes. That's the whole point.
I have books.
That's true. Well, my book also came out.
They're the notes of the now.
Well, my book came out way earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
So I did the pro written by Garth Ennis and drawn by Amanda Conda. It was a prestige
one. Amanda Conda.
They're doing Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Her and her husband doing Birds of Prey now.
Yeah.
It's a prestige one shot put out by Image in 2002. And all that means it was just like a double sized one shot.
Yeah, it's like 48 pages or something.
So the entire story is an unnamed prostitute is given superpowers by an alien called the Viewer, who's apparently the Watcher. Which is actually really funny when you read the book. Once she has powers, she joins their version, joins the League of Honor, where she fights alongside them, but her foul mouth violence, and then she performs oral sex on their version of Superman.
Yeah, which is great.
It's the funniest scene. it gets her kicked off the team. Eventually, she has to come back and help them out to stop a nuclear blast, but then eventually they kick her off the team and she goes back to being a prostitute again.
Yeah, but this time she has superpowers.
Yeah. Which actually is the reason why they did a sequel series called The Pro vs. Ho.
Yeah, which is really stupid.
Which is an 8-page story, which make up the two stories together make up the trade paper.
Yeah.
where the pro has to fight against a 12-armed prostitute.
They can give all the hand jobs.
They're competing who can do the best jobs. Because the problem is that they think
you just got to middle out to do the most. You gotta, it's like God. Silicon Valley. You got to middle out to get the most hand jobs.
So the thing is,
she can do 24 at once.
That's true.
If you middle out, you got to do two at once.
She has 12 arms.
Yeah, you do 24 hand jobs at once. Because the middle out method for Silicon Valley is to give the most hand jobs, you have to do two at a time. But to do two at a time, you have both hands, but you got to middle out. You got to hit both the dicks, so it's four dicks at a time. So she would be able to do 24 total. Watch Silicon Valley.
Oh, my God. Good. Sorry. The method wasn't confusing me. The math was confusing me for some reason. I couldn't get it for whatever reason for a second. But so...
middle out.
God. So, primarily the reason why this is a sex book is it's about... It's the over... Yeah,
yeah, you want to tell me? What, it's about prostitution?
Yeah, prostitution.
Prostitutes?
I just think it's funny. I think it's just a funny
comedy
book.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a comedy book. It's in the same vein as Money Shot, where it's a comedy. Right. It's as comedy opposed to overlaying. Our other two, which are... I mean, your other one is kind of comedic. Yes. But also, like, more serious. Mine is, like, the political sex one.
It's still dark. Cool. It's a dark comedy. The sex itself is overlaid. It's not as graphic as people think it is, because you don't see...
Oh, yeah, I was reading through it the other day. Yeah. It's like, I think you see just boobies, and you don't... I think you see maybe like half a shaft or something.
Yeah, you don't see much of anything.
Yeah,
it's not like The Boys.
Oh no,
let's be fair. It's not like The Boys, which we didn't cover for a reason.
I feel like we keep covering The Boys. Yeah, The Boys is always in the news.
It's always there. Also because one, it's super funny. The fact that she's still at the end of the day goes back to being a prostitute and then
to support her kid.
Yeah, that's the only reason why she stopped the nuclear blast is to keep her kid alive, and she goes back to be like a prostitute. It's. She's so it's so,
I like it when she slaps that guy's jaw off and it lands on the other side of the the thing.
There's a whole like even the whole like the sequel book was all about how her Johns are so mad at her for finishing them so fast that they're so bored that she doesn't think she's a good enough prostitute.
Oh, because she's such a superhero.
She has superpowers. So like, because they keep paying her money to go right back, and they think it's a racket. That's the whole point. And I love that everyone's passionate of DC characters.
Yeah.
Besides the viewer, which is funny that the watch is the giant, the biggest perv, because like he's
the watcher always watches.
Yeah. So the scene of him singing like in this like space station with all the like everyone in their bedrooms and bathrooms.
I think
and
it's
shit.
I think Adult Swim did it for Robot Chicken.
The Peeper.
Yeah, the Peeper. It was
the watcher always watches.
Yeah, I think it was Spider-Man taking a shit.
Yeah.
And then the watcher was like, I see you.
Yeah, he's like, what are you?
And then it was Deadpool, and he's like flips him off, and he's like masturbating in there. Yeah. I think it was Deadpool.
It was Adult Swim. It
was one of their Marvel.
It's a Marvel episode. It's like, well, the watcher's always watching.
Yeah. Like, what does he watch? He watches me masturbate in the bathroom.
I guess.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably shies away from it, but like, low key.
He's always watching.
He's like Santa.
That's fucking wrong.
Santa sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows when you're masturbating as well.
I'm so glad this is never enough. Oh God!
If I could put more than one explicit tag on this, I would. But I can only put one down. I do it for every episode because we don't always talk about. I mean, first couple episodes we kept talking about dicks.
Justin actually let me point that out. Goes, you guys talk about dicks every episode.
Yeah, well, we stopped. But we're back now.
Well, given what the episode's about, absolutely.
Yeah, so I always just tag it explicit because we say bad words.
Yeah.
And I don't want any kids come like getting a hold of it and goes, it's, I say the F word. It's like, yeah, but it's labeled explicit.
You say fuck a lot.
I say fuck a lot.
Especially with this episode.
I was raised to be that way.
Don't be weird. So, all right. That was my book. One of my books.
The Pro.
So definitely, check it out. It's also in trade paperback, so it's easy to get.
Yeah, all these books.
Except for Money Shot and your two books.
Yeah.
So, Lee, what's your book?
All right. So, I've been reading Sunstone by Stefan Sejic, if I'm pronouncing that right.
You probably are.
I think so.
If not, he'll yell at us somewhere. He won't, but...
He won't. Always the hope.
But you pronounced my name wrong, assholes.
It is obviously a sex book because the main focus, not the full focus, which is what makes this a really good story, is... a dominant and submissive relationship between two females in their 20s. They basically meet on a chat forum where the main character, who's a narrator, who's ironically her name is Lisa.
Oh God.
Is an erotic writer. She writes BDSM stories, and the girl who ends up becoming her dominant, Allie, was reading her stories, and then they start chatting, and then they start to become more comfortable with each other. And then they actually plan to meet in real life and pursue this relationship. Well, it didn't start out as they didn't want it to be a relationship at first. It was just going to be like a one-time meeting, yeah, to see if, you know, they've always wanted to do this. Allie has more experience than she does. It's revealed what her background is. You know, she has friends in the lifestyle. She had an ex-boyfriend who she would kind of switch roles with, but it didn't really work out because they both ended up being too dominant.
And that's where Swing comes from, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she ends up, and Sunstone is their safe word, which is the title's based off.
Mine's, oh, I didn't know that.
Mine's Pineapple.
So that's the first. So this will actually be Allie, who even though she's more experienced, this will be her actual first time being 100% dominant. And this will be Lisa's first time actually being a submissive. And then it goes into her background that she was engaged to a man who she was going to marry, but she could never actually tell him because of her own insecurities what she actually wanted. And then it ended up causing them to break up because she kind of didn't really express her desires. And then they end up meeting up. And, you know, that's obviously very sexual. It's about their BDSM relationship. But it also, it's really good because it goes into their backgrounds, other people they know in and out of the community who partake, who don't partake, you know, their life outside of that, and then wanting to see each other again, and then how their relationship progresses, and they started having feelings for each other, and that they're not always, like, super sexy on, you know, there's a lot of mishaps.
Some lies!
Yeah, I see it as, like, not a slice of life sex comedy.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it has a mix of, like, a romantic comedy mixed with, like, you know, BDSM, and it's more well-rounded. It also explains the roles really well. It's, you know, it's not like bad porn or bad fan fiction. It's actually, you know,
actually good.
Yeah, good. Not like a certain 50 Shades of a certain color. It actually,
call it out now on the show.
It actually, yeah, exactly. It actually fleshes them out as people, and it's not just like,
that was Twilight fan fiction.
Yes.
Gross.
Yes. And I read Twilight, and you know, before, you know, my taste evolved. You know, I was into YA supernatural romance novels when I was younger, you know, to my early college years. But, you know, it is a great book. It has its lighthearted moments, its serious moments, and it really just shows their development as a couple and this whole dynamic inside and outside of the bedroom. It's very well-rounded.
Note to everyone in a relationship. Talk about your sexual feelings and preferences, or shit's going to go down.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
I think that entire
and
thing
in both of the main characters' relationships, that was a problem, just in different ways. You know, you had one who wasn't saying her feelings at all, and then the other one repressing them, and then the other one, she was actually ended up in a kind of a competition with her ex. They were trying to one-up each other.
Who's the kinkiest?
And who could be the most dominant. Even when they would switch roles, quote-unquote, they weren't enjoying the submissive role. They were just trying to top each other, and then it became more of like a, like
they were
a,
just trying to top each other.
Well, they were, literally and figuratively. And it became,
thinking about it, though, it's hilarious.
It is. No, it really was funny, the stuff they would make each other do. And, you know, and she described it very well as, like, it became, like, almost like an addiction, and they both kind of spiraled, and then they had to go their separate
ways. Sex addiction is real, too.
They became, and they were, like, neglecting their school, almost failing out. So they stayed really good friends, but they couldn't work it out sexually. So then these two, you know, meet and start on that adventure together.
And then when the book Switch got announced, everyone was like, oh, is it a sequel? And then it's like, no, it's a Witchblade book.
Yeah, Switch was not,
because it was announced as Switch, and then it was done by the same guy who did Sunstone
and
Swing.
And Switch is a sexual term
for
someone
so
that plays both roles, so you could totally see that.
Yeah, everyone thought it was going to be a new book, but then it was like, no, it's actually a young Witchblade.
No,
like,
he did. I'm pretty sure he did another.
And the
book
artwork
like
is
too.
Gorgeous.
Oh yeah, so just
absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
He's been everywhere,
but not like dirty. He just the way he draws it, like it's like kinky, but it's just.
It's not over.
It's beautiful.
It's not.
It's just it accentuates the right parts. It's not like vulgar. It's kinky, obviously.
Their organs are in the right place.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's just not like cheap. You know what I mean? It's not like bad porn.
No, it's not.
It's
like
very sensual. Like it's good. It's a really good book.
Which is funny because
I've actually been meaning to read it. I always see like posts about it. Is that on
I didn't
Twitter?
Get to finish it yet. I'm working on it, but
well, you've read it before, right?
Not completely.
Oh, okay.
So, I think I'm on volume 4 right now.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were just talking about volume 1.
Well, no, I got, like, the big books, so it's like they split them half and half, so I just finished 1 through 3, and I'm a little bit into 4. All
right.
But
cool. Yeah.
So far, it's, you know, I just got to the spoilers, like, the end of the third volume is when they actually move in together and they take the relationship to the next
level.
So
I definitely got to check it out. I only thought it was one volume. So... And then like he just posts like mini comics.
Yeah, like I think there's six volumes and there's two books. The most recent, because the first big book is 1 through 3, the second one's 4 and 5, and then he just came out with 6 last March, I believe.
Awesome.
I was looking up to see, you know, so I didn't miss any, and I think 6 was the last one that I saw.
I think he's working on a new one. Probably. Or he's just continuing Swing.
Probably.
Because I keep seeing, like, new covers and new art from him.
Yeah.
And then I also see his, like, soft pitches for, like,
why'd you send me that?
Because it says Bam's a Spawn.
Sorry. I'm looking up Sedgwick. I thought Switch was...
It's his Young Witchblade book.
Is it, though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's legit in the Witchblade universe.
Because there's one I saw...
The whole point, it's the like same Switchblade.
It's the same cover, like the same coloring style as Sunstone's cover art.
That's why everyone thought it was a book about a young teenager who's a switch sexually, but it's actually
or
about
Swapper,
Witchblade.
Freaking,
it's
or
not called Swapper.
I thought it was something
no,
like that.
No, Switch is the proper term.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I really thought
I'm
it was
a swapper.
The... No, not
white
that.
White swapper?
That's what I thought it was.
White swap? Come on, you watch TV, that never goes well.
Do you remember that fucking show?
It's back on, it's horrible. I can't
what
watch
if we
it.
Switched wives?
I literally cringe. And it's always like, and they do like the most families that are so polar opposite, you know it's gonna go bad.
Well,
it's
that's
just
the
like,
point. It's TV drama.
Yeah.
It's like Catfish. It's like they just want the drama.
Yeah.
Alright, let's get back to books. I'll talk about safe sex now.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Safe Sex, we've talked about it before. It is the political sex drama book done by Tina Horn and Michael Dowling, and it is Image published. So, it is about a woman and a man. They're in a committed relationship, but they're also sexual deviants, but the government outlawed sexual deviancy. You can really only do regulated sex positions like missionary or cowgirl or something like that.
That always
you
works
can't
out
experiment.
So well.
You can't experiment, so... They have, like, underground sex clubs back in, like the 30s and 40s had. Or
yeah,
because
they had those
70s.
Laws, yep.
Yeah.
Sodomy.
It's basically
and,
that, but current day.
There are laws against
so them. Every time someone breaks the law, they, like, get attacked by the police and, like, tortured and, like, arrested and killed. And the whole thing is the husband gets taken by one of the police officers, even though it wasn't his fault. It was his wife's doing. His wife has been working at a sex club again, and she's getting in trouble because of that. So, I mean, so far it's good. I think it's only supposed to be 6 issues, but it wasn't really announced as 6 issues. It was announced as ongoing.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're just going to do 6 and then wait, like,
a
not
year?
Cancel it, but, like, wait a bit.
Through a season.
Yeah, like a season of it. Because it's kind of wrapping up the story now.
Right.
But then again, they could easily just jump through everything.
Right.
But, you know, the husband is getting tortured tremendously, and it sucks. While reading this, I'm always like, because it's always like cock and ball torture.
Yeah,
or like,
let's see. Yes,
or like
maybe.
Just stabbing his dick with stuff, and I'm like, please stop. I have one of those. I don't want that.
I don't want to watch this.
Not fun.
I don't want to watch
But it's
this.
A really good book. I think it's written really well. And I hope it continues. But like, I also don't want it to go on for too long.
Right.
I feel like when books go on for too long, they get stale.
Right. Like how
like how much longer can you keep the sex politics going if like... The main characters are already just, like, fucking off about it, you know?
Right. I mean, I get it. It's, again, the same realm of, yes, it's super sexy because, one, it is very graphic.
Oh, yeah, it's super graphic. You don't, like, see dicks, like...
You see dicks.
You, but, like, not, issue not heavily, though. It's not, like, zoomed in. You don't, like, see a full-on, like... Saga will show, like, a full dick as a page.
That was Page in Saga.
Yeah, but...
that was a splash page
well,
in Saga.
But in Safe Sex, it's just kind of like... You see boobs and you see vaginas... But you don't see, like,
what'd
full
you say?
On dicks. It said vaginas.
Why?
Yeah, like, you can see the dick. But, like, it's not zoomed in. It's kind of like, oh, it's there. They're not going to, like, dick.
Right.
And I feel like that's a little too much.
No, I mean graphic in the sense of that you see penetration, you see all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I thought you meant, like, full on, like...
No, not splash page dick.
Yeah,
no.
Okay. Only Saga, I think. Is
only Saga is the only comic I've ever read where there's a full blue veiny penis on a splash page.
Nice.
I love that book.
That Saga's so good. It's come back soon.
Nice. I can't wait.
Hope and pray.
Can't
hope
wait.
And pray. It's like
this
May.
Year.
It's supposed to be this year.
It's supposed to be this year. I can't wait.
So, James, what else did you cover?
Oh, that's easy. Sex Criminals.
Hell yeah.
I
wish I caught up on Sex Criminals before this.
I'm not finished with it.
I have the first 3 volumes. I just haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
But I love Chip Zdarsky.
I love...
I praise him every day.
I know.
Dude, I posted on Twitter the other day, someone talking about, like, what character should be, like, what was an underrated Marvel book? And I was like, Howard the Duck by Chip Zdarsky. And then, like, I had, like, a whole thread going. Marvel 2
by Zdarsky's.
No, no, but this is, like, a whole, like, Howard the Duck, like, thread. And then I was like, I love it when Chip Zdarsky spoon-fed us Howard the Duck books. And then Chip Zdarsky was like, I will spoon-feed you anytime. I was like, hell yeah, let's go.
Great.
Zdarsky's hilarious.
Anyway. Sex Criminals is produced by Image and written by Matt Fraction and drawn by Sadowski. But I've always had, me and you talked about this a couple of weeks ago when Sex Criminals came back from its fucking hiatus, that I think Sadowski also kind of helps write it while he punches up the jokes.
Yeah, it's like
he's there to punch up the jokes and stuff, and I definitely see that they work together.
There was a page in the newest issue where it was like a bunch of books on the wall.
Yeah.
And the only one that Matt Fraction came up with was the Lolita one. All the other ones are Chip Zdarsky. It was like, he's like, yeah, I just made a bunch of random shit.
Yeah.
And I put it on there. The only one Matt wanted was Lolita stuff. And I was like, okay. This is what are you into, you. Fraction?
Well, he's also married to the Conic.
Yeah.
So synopsis is that Susie is the main character. She's a brunette in the episode. She's a librarian.
The sexiest profession.
I know. She's a librarian. And she has a weird superpower that when she orgasms, she freezes time. That's an awful power.
Kite man, hell yeah.
Think about it one more time.
I know, you freeze time, but you don't freeze yourself,
you don't
self-freeze.
Yeah. You are active. Everything else around you freezes.
Imagine having sex with someone who's not the other main character, because then, like, when you orgasm and then he'll orgasm later, like, if you do it at the same time, jizz. Like, they floating, like...
That's literally, they explain it in their first,
you see it coming for you.
They explain it in the... Jesus Christ, no one wants
I haven't read it yet, I'm just
no
thinking about it.
Yes, so that's actually in the first volume.
Okay, cool.
Susie goes to the librarian, and because of funding reasons and the town, they want to close down her library. So she goes to a party, and she meets John, who's like an actor, or he's trying to be an actor.
An actor!
And,
watching too much art.
I know you are. She meets John, who's an actor in training, and they end up hooking up one night. And what normally happens, she'll orgasm, and she'll just get up and leave. Because she's like, I'm not waiting around for this shit.
How long does she freeze time?
A while.
Oh, so she just like does she come back
off.
And like slip back in, or like does
no,
she just
she's
leave?
Leaves,
and, like,
most
they're
because
like,
the problem is
was
she
it a
know
because
she knows no one else can do the same thing. So she gets thinks. Up to leave, and then all of a sudden John gets up and is like, "Hey, where you going?" And she's like, "What the hell? Yeah. Oh, you can do that too.
Oh, you freeze time too.
So you find out John also can freeze time when he.
Yeah, but imagine him doing it like he nuts and then like walks away and then all of a sudden." Psh, splash, and like, where did he go? I just got cum in my face.
It's like being jizzed on by the Flash. Is that what happened?
Drive-by.
Gone. Drive-by jizzing? Drive-by facials? Drive-by. Is that what happens?
Yeah, the drive-by.
So the rest of the series then is Susie gets this plan together that she's going to, her and John are going to rob banks to get the money to raise the money for the library so they can close.
Yeah.
So that's really the first entire arc where the two of them are
sex criminals.
Yeah.
They have sex in the car and then go rob a bank, right?
Yeah. Sex in the car, or the bathroom, the bank, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They have sex somewhere.
Hell yeah.
God. So what they do then is start robbing banks. And they eventually raise enough money to keep the library open. But between the two of them, they start developing feelings for each other. He wants to help her because he thinks it's a good cause, and they figure that both of them think it's a good course to do this.
They both have the powers. They both think they can
right.
get caught.
Right. They can think
so
they can. Yeah. They can't get. There's no way for them to get caught. They can think they can absolutely do this. So they start developing a relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. Along the way, you also are then finally at the end of the first arc, you're introduced to the sex police, all the people that have powers when they orgasm. Each person varies depending. It's just really rare that two of them have the same power.
One guy's got the fairy that comes out of his dick,
yeah,
right?
That's the fucking one I show everybody.
Yeah. Dude, that was my first day on the job. You're like, do you know what sex criminals is? I was like, I heard about it because Zdarsky doesn't shut up about it. And you were like, watch this. And you pull out, like, I think it's volume 2 or 3, and you're like, this page. And I was like, thank
four.
You.
It's 4.
Yeah.
Because I don't own it.
Yeah.
I know because I only went through 2 and 3 so
far.
Yeah,
same. And then I was like, thank you, James. Now I can properly work here.
Yeah, Gist Fairy. It's a Gist Fairy.
It's really
funny. She got, the guy puts on a hentai, like a little, like, Japanese mask, and he masturbates, and then a giant fairy comes out.
Does he need the mask, or is that just his thing?
I think it's his thing.
Okay.
And then when he finishes, average jizz, a giant fairy comes out of it.
Hell yeah.
And then she kills people.
Oh, she kills people.
She can do whatever he wants.
I thought it was like Grant's 3 wishes, like a genie.
No,
she
like
can
rub
it long enough and a genie
no.
comes out.
No, each one of them has different powers. Like, that one of them can teleport, John's, like, favorite porn star that he eventually meets, her power is astral projection.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so when she orgasms, she astral projects places.
But her body stays there.
But her body stays in the other room. That's but it takes
it's
so like a much.
Doctor Strange scene, except think about it's cum.
Yeah, but apparently it takes so much for her to orgasm. That's why you see a million toys in like every scene she's in.
And then when she's in, that's why she's a porn star too, because it's like
no, because she got desensitized from being in porn so long. That takes so
yeah.
So each one has different powers and stuff.
That's awesome.
So that's really, and then the series gets more complicated as the introduction of the sex police are in there, and all of them coming after John and Susie, and then Susie's and John's personal relationship starts to degrade. So we took a hiatus, and now they're back. Finally, and we're
issue
at the closing.
Came out last year.
Yeah, and we're
last week.
Two weeks ago.
The final issue is supposed to be 32, but they're changing it to 69 because hell yeah.
Yeah, and that's the running joke for the book. But you know, it's really good. Like I said, a lot of it's the development of their relationship. It's a tamer version of Sunstone.
Just fairies. I don't think. It's
I mean,
tame.
Yeah.
How does that
I think it's tame.
Sunstone.
I think it's tame sexually.
They don't have
no.
It's because there's not
powers.
A problem. It's probably not a lot.
That's
around
the relationship. The relationship aspect.
Yeah.
It's like the growth of their relationship is a similar.
Yeah.
Not
I feel
the
like Sunstone
fucking
doesn't flesh out the world as much as Sex Criminals. Does.
Right. Sex Criminals.
No. Yeah.
Sex Criminals is focused on the two characters, but the world around them.
Yeah.
Sunstone is Sunstone is and from even
the
from
world around them is kind of their backdrop.
Right.
Yeah.
Very much like a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
my two books, Safe Sex and Money Shot, they're also about the world rather than just the characters.
Right.
Money Shot's a little more focused on the characters because it's like, what are they doing as scientists to produce money so that they can get their money shot into space and explore the galaxies and stuff.
Yeah.
But Safe Sex is more political, world based.
Right.
With the main characters mainly just being there for us to be like, oh, I can you know relate to the main male character. He's in a shitty situation.
Yeah.
He's, like, just a normal guy who just, like, does sex with his wife deviantly. You're not even supposed to own toys in Safe Sex.
Yeah.
It has to be regular penis sex.
I know.
It's weird.
Dude, it's, if you go to the back pages of it, like, you see the fans.
Yeah, the fans are talking about it.
They're fucking nuts.
Yeah,
it's so great to see the fans for Safe Sex. And apparently they sell merchandise.
Yeah, I think they sell shirts and stuff.
They sell shirts and sex toys.
I don't need to know that.
I'm just telling you from the book. It's
also like
in the book.
I also like how they have the playlist for each episode.
Yeah, that's cool.
So when you're reading it, you listen to these songs,
yeah,
and you're
songs.
Like,
it's supposed to tie to the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what the big deal is. I think a lot of these books aren't just sex-based. Because the thing
back in the day, they used to only be like, let's be honest, the pro is just because, oh, it's superhero having sex, haha, funny.
But it's funny.
But like,
it,
these
but
are more,
comedy.
Like, it's got fleshed out throughout the
right.
years.
Right. Like, see, like, the pro is
I feel
just
like
a
Sex
comedy.
Criminals was one of the first books that, like, fleshed out a sex world.
Right.
Because, like, because you could have just easily focused on just the two, having sex and doing dumb shit.
Yeah.
But they wanted to expand it.
Right.
Which I think is where, I mean, I don't know if it's really the pinnacle
no,
of, like, sex books, like, what launched the new culture,
but it's one of
them.
It's one of the ones that make it mainstream
it's
enough.
It's one of the top five.
Right. It's one of the ones that you can look at mainstream and go, this makes sense.
Yeah. There's supposed to be a TV show that was starting development in 2015,
yeah.
but it never got around anywhere.
Yeah.
But maybe now with the new arc, they might be able to.
Right. It also depends on what they were, who was doing what at the time.
Exactly.
You know.
Fraction was doing Hawkeye, I think.
Fraction and Deconic also got signed to do, like, script writing for, like, Universal. So, that's also taking up time. But a lot of it is that these current books that we all picked are more not, they're not just sex. Yeah, sex is the point, like, the focus of the books.
Yeah.
In different matters and different lifestyles, the sex is the main focus of the book. But it's not just gratuitous sex for gratuitous sex. For that, we can go back to other stuff. Anything Boundless produces, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know.
Faithless.
Let's
be real. It's got a world, but it's mostly about the characters.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like sex with magic.
It's sex with magic, though.
I didn't want to talk about that because I really don't like it as much as these two. I'm more of a comedy guy.
I was actually going to talk about Faithless. That was my other choice.
Yeah. If we had three?
Yeah, if we had three, Faithless would be my other choice because it's not.
I don't really have a third one.
The pitch for Faithless was that it's supposed to be like Dante's Inferno, but an Iraq adventure. I'm like,
yeah.
But it's not.
It's really just like crazy magic
it's
sex.
It's very much like Black Swan.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very much like Black
for
Swan
sure.
if you threw magic in there and, like, cranked up the R rating.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But, like, that's not even sex for sex's sake. You know, yes, it's the focus, because it's supposed to be an erotic comic. It's supposed
that's
to be.
That's Azarillo, I think.
Yeah, it is Azarillo. And I forgot who does the art. But she does other art, too.
Yeah.
She does Heartbeat.
Okay, gotcha.
And
then there's other books like Unnatural,
right?
And Unsacred.
Unsacred.
But those are.
But Unsacred
issues.
Is. Unsacred is.
Unsacred is mini sex comics tied into an issue. Now.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a joke, and it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
was made for comedy. There's really no world fleshed out. It's just kind of like them having sex.
Yeah, him trying to get laid, and now finally he got laid and at the end of the last issue.
Unnatural is like a sex thriller.
Yes.
It's not focused on sex. It's focused on the character, but there's sex in it.
Yeah, but also the same thing, like, safe sex.
That's definitely a world builder.
Very much like safe sex. It's set in a dystopian world where
you have to marry your own species. You have to marry your own species, and you can't... an agency or some shit.
Yeah, an agency that's someone within your own species, and you can't... and it can't be of the same sex.
Yeah.
And if you are, you're sent to this camp, and they deprogram you, quote-unquote. And that's... and it's a whole Rise of Resistance type of thing, and...
yeah.
You know, but it's, again, it's more of a political thriller mixed with sex. Yeah. It's an erotic thriller.
It's more safe sex than Money Shot.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but again, like, it's not like back in the day in, like, the 30s and 40s where the books were made strictly for the either the comedy aspect of sex or the sexual pleasure of sex. Mm-hmm. You know, so now we have a more kind of mature aspect where, and I say mature, but also reading The Pro, you know.
Also reading Sex Criminals where a guy jizzes a fairy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're all adults here.
Yeah. It's as mature as we're getting, guys. Yeah. You know, but that's the whole aspect. I think it's more that sex itself has become not mainstream, but enough that...
sex is mainstream, man. Let's not do that. Go against the curve. Yeah. Let's all be fucking celibates. Woo!
Hips to douche. But what I mean is the concept of sex in comics isn't far-fetched anymore.
Yeah, no, it's commonplace.
Yeah, it's
commonplace. Honestly, like, every book has sex in it.
Right.
Like, every indie book,
every...
for the most part, has, like, sexual mentions in it. Like, I don't want to say every book, because that makes it sound shitty, but, like, it's easier to throw it in a book now than it was back in the day because of all the comic bylaws.
And even if you want, because it's a way to explore a character's furthering of their relationship with someone.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Whether it's something in like, I'm trying to think of a not, like, Saga.
I was about to say Saga.
Saga itself is two people that are in a relationship that...
aren't allowed to be.
They aren't allowed to be, and
they just fuck off.
Yeah, and yes, sometimes they have sex, but it's not. That's not the focus of the book. Yeah,
the focus of the book is family drama.
Yeah,
but then it's just an adult book.
Yeah, it's an adult book. It will have sex scenes in it.
Yeah,
it's a complex adult lifestyle.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, so seeing that stuff in the book, yes. Do I need a giant splash page of a blue robot man's dick? No. The fact that Jess
a surprise, but a welcome one.
The fact that Jess had to point it out to me. Yeah. That's the thing.
Back when I first started reading that book, I got the first five in trades, and then I was reading the single issues, and that's where it comes up. And I would often like take pictures on Snapchat or like Instagram or something, and like share it to my friends, like, look what I'm reading.
Yeah.
But the first page, you open it up, boom, dick, and I was like, hey guys, look, boom, like it's just there.
Yeah.
And then my friends are always like, what the fuck are you reading?
Yeah, like I'm reading Saga.
I actually got a bunch of my friends to buy the book because of how weird. Right. Like, it's not just about sex, but also you get stuff like this. And then I showed them Gus, the little seal with the giant axe.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell, you get stuff like this. You get dicks.
You get Lion Cat.
Yeah, Lion Cat's sick.
Hello, Lion Cat.
And then you get Oh God. Bah.
What is happening here?
The Will.
Yeah, the Will. Bounty Hunter. Yeah, the Will.
He's so cool.
I'm so behind, dude.
Dude, you shouldn't be. The Will becomes like
a thing. I know.
Like,
I know.
I love him, and then I hate him, and then I love him, and then I fucking hate him.
That's the whole point of the character. But again,
I know.
It's that more mature aspect. So having sex in books, like I'm reading Heartbeat, that came out. I'm like, all
right,
that's like
X-Men relationship. That's like weird X-Men, right?
No, that's Heart Attack.
Okay, what's Heartbeat?
Heartbeat's the other one. They come out every month the same week. All the time. It's fucking annoying. And they're produced by two different publishers. The other one is the... thriller. It's about like a murder that happens on campus. And
it's tied to sex. And they're like,
who? No,
that's a psychosexual thriller?
Yeah, but it's not even tied to sex. It's just fucking... I lie. It's actually about it is psychosexual thriller because the guy's like, the girl's like drink my blood, and she's like drink my blood, and it's a whole fucking thing, and like, oh my God, I'll show it to you later.
It's like the show You, except he doesn't drink the blood. He's just kind of like, I'll stalk you and then I'll fuck you. It's pretty cool. So good. I just watched all
the
two
books
seasons.
Were so good too. I read both books before the show, and they're amazing.
I didn't read the books. I've heard the show's really good. It's about a creepy serial killer guy, and then Courtney was like, yeah, sure, I'll watch it. And we binged it all in like three days. We're
too.
Like, we have to watch this.
The books like are so good too, because it fleshes out those characters even more, and it kind of gets to his build-up, and it's so good.
And the build-up in the show, like, you kind of know what's up. Yeah. In the first episode, he's masturbating in the street, and you're like, okay, he's kind of weird.
The book does a little better
season
job.
Season 2, he like kind of isn't as creepy. I feel like he's trying to be better in season 2, but that's the point.
He tries.
Yeah. You're both falling for the fact that you're feeling sympathy for him.
And then, spoilers, he meets his match, and, you know.
Oh, yeah, and she's kind of crazy, which is great.
Which was just like the book.
I didn't like what happened to, the little girl's sister. The landlord.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Delilah, her sister.
Yeah, I thought that was
fucked
up.
That was terrible.
But they kind of give her a decent ending where they send her money every once in a while, and she's just kind of like, I'm living on
my
own.
Justice for Delilah, though. She didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly. She just wrong place, wrong time.
She was like the one person that definitely didn't deserve it out of anyone in that show.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And I'm glad they let the original Will go. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good show. Now we're just talking about you.
So good.
We're devolving.
Oh, so good.
So, guys, that's the episode, basically. We decided not to do reviews because we wanted to go full on into the sex, but we will give some recommendations.
Yes.
Go check out Alienated by Boom. Go check out Birds of Prey by Palmiotti and
which is
Connor.
Kind of like a wrap up of their entire everything.
If you flip through the first four pages, it's like the Power Girl, the Harley Gang, and all the
Ritual all together.
Yeah.
Also out this week for number one. If you are feeling kind of sappy and sad inside, read Batman Pennyworth RIP.
Oh God, yes.
So sad. So fucking sad. Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, technically. Alienated, and that's pretty much the recommendations for the week.
That's probably what we would have read today.
Yeah, that's what the books we would have read today.
The sole book would have been Batman. You would have read Harley, and I would have read Alienated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go check those out. Also, X Men and X Force have come out.
Always
read
X-Men.
That. Yeah, always, always read that stuff.
Because it's finally the whole Mystique Destiny thing.
Yeah,
it's fucking
cool. It's kind of like how Darkseid is X Men is.
X Men all the time.
Hey, that'll be our shirt. X Men is. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. Listen, watching. I'm back in my old high school days.
Thanks for watching.
I used to make shitty YouTube videos. Thanks for listening, guys. You can head to our website, androidscomics.com, to check out this week's previews and new releases. Follow us on Instagram at androids_comics and Twitter at androidscomics for up-to-date news. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. Support your local comic book shops, and have a sexy day.
Oh, God,
I'm
really?
Seeing Sonic on Thursday for Valentine's Day. Can't wait. Woo!
Blood
Sonic.
Can't go to two places at once.
Sonic, baby.
I can't. I'm done. Later.
It sets the moon.
Yeah, apparently.
Sets the moon.
Sonic.